Well, I'm not sure where Pastor Schmidtke is at this point. I think is he at a conference of some sort? But anyway, he's got the week off anyway. So in his stead, I'm going to do what I can here. And my text is found in Luke 14, verses 15 through 24. Luke 14, starting at verse 15 and going through verse 24. And should we stand for the reading of God's word? Reading in Jesus' name. Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said to him, Jesus said to him, A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, Come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor, and the maimed, and the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Okay, we read here now that there was a great supper planned, or a banquet, and I'm guessing that all of those who were invited had been invited previously, and then the news came that the banquet was ready. And I know that from what I've read and the things I understand about the region at the time and the way things were, there would be celebrations planned, but the date would not be necessarily set until everything was prepared. And I think we can make comparisons of this to the opportunity we have to receive Christ and to partake in as would be said, the Great Supper or the reuniting with him in heaven. And going to verse 15, I'm going to kind of take this as it comes here for a bit. Now when one of those who sat at the table with him and heard these things, he said to him, Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now, when we see these parables, Jesus is speaking to the Jewish people, because he's among the Jews. And I'm sure this person who made that statement is, you know, one of those prideful, entitled Jews who think that they, they are the elite, and they are, since God chose them as his people, that they'll just be automatically enter into that. But then he had an answer. A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, Come, for all things are now ready. So the moment had arrived, and evidently, I'm guessing that these people knew ahead of time that this was going to happen. They may have not have known the exact date or the exact hour, but they knew it was coming. And they had been invited, and more than likely had not declined that invitation until the time came. So then the excuses started. And, you know, some of these I hadn't really thought of before, but as I've done a little studying and thinking about it, the first guy, he says he had bought some land and he wanted to go see it. Wonder how many farmers buy land sight unseen and then all of a sudden say, oh my goodness, I've bought this, now I have to go see it. And even if that was the case, couldn't he have put it off for a day or two if he'd already bought it? Same with the oxen. He'd bought the oxen, he needed to test them. Well, wouldn't you kind of do that before you buy? And the person who had married a wife, wouldn't you think that that couple would enjoy going out and being seen, but they could not come? So that servant came and reported these things to his master. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And I think when he makes these statements and about the maimed and lame and the blind, I think he's just illustrating that anyone is welcome, no matter their condition. And as Gentiles, I think we can use this scripture as a real cause for praising God that the Gentiles are also included as we look at this scripture according to the way, you know, scripture applies through the generations. And the way it applies to us is that we are all welcome. All we have to do is accept the invitation. And then as I was reading this, it kind of came to me, you know, we talk about predestination and foreknowledge, and sometimes we get the two mixed up. And I wrote, God's plan of salvation takes into account his foreknowing that Israel would reject their Messiah. And whosoever will means Jew and Gentile, praise God. And so then I was led into the whosoever will phrase. And you see that sprinkled throughout, especially the New Testament. You know, whosoever will may come. And are we going to accept that invitation? And I know there's going to be a lot of scripture I'm going to read here, because scripture says it better than I ever can. And I just want to talk about this a little bit. And I found, I sometimes do a little research online. You know, there's bad stuff online, there's good stuff online. I look for the good stuff. And I found a website, and I encourage you to look at it. It's called BibleTruths.org. And I tried to find the name of the authors of the stuff they have there. I couldn't find the name because I like to credit where credit is due when I can, but we'll just credit BibleTruths.org. And so we see in this scripture, after the invited had turned down the invitation, that the invitation was then open to all who would come, no matter what their condition or no matter what their background. And so now we have a universal call to whosoever will. We can claim that and we can respond to it. And the gospel call has always been the same. This is from the Matthew Henry commentary. The gospel call has always been the same from Adam and Eve after they sinned, to Abraham, to Moses, to Malachi, to you and me, and to everyone else who ever lives. The heavens so declare the glory of God and proclaim his wisdom, power, and goodness that all ungodly men are left without excuse. So we are, as we see the heavens and they declare the glory of God, ungodly men are left without excuse. And then we go to, I'm looking at Joel 2, verse 32. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord promised, among the remnant called by the Lord. in Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And then we look, God's, that call is universal, that call is present. The call to whosoever will is still a call that's going out. The call to whosoever is clearer and more available now than ever. The creation still speaks. Now the message can be transmitted around the world in seconds. There is no excuse. And John 3:16, as we've all probably memorized, it's so clear there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And there's the word whosoever again. That means that's all encompassing. And then in John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. And also Acts 2:21, I like, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And John 6:40. And this kind of speaks, I need to study more about predestination and foreknowledge, because I know the word predestination and predestined is used in Scripture, but I wish I was more knowledgeable of the Hebrew and the Greek, which I have no knowledge of. I won't say more knowledge, I wish I had some. And just wondering what the meaning is there, because in John 6:40 it says, for it is my Father's will that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. John 6:40. So we know that the call is there. All we have to do is respond. And it's kind of like the saying, I'm preaching to the choir here, because I'm hoping that everyone who is attending here this morning has accepted that call and is a believer in Christ and has accepted his the redemption of our soul. But there's also plenty of scripture out there warning against whosoever will ignore the call. You know, we know that there are many people out there who get the call, who know about it, but just either ignore or reject. Since the call has been universal from the first to the last, from Adam and Eve to you, the penalty for ignoring the call can be universal too. There is no excuse. No one has ever been excluded, and no one ever will be excluded. John 3:18, just a couple of verses after John 3:16. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned. Because from Adam and Eve up until now, the condemnation has been on us until we accept that call, until we accept Christ. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And then John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him. Just kind of reiterating what John 3:18 said. Luke 9:26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Luke 9:26, Luke 12:19, but whoever denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. So the response to that call, the response to the invitation is everything. How do we respond to God's gift of eternal life through his son and his death on the cross? He's done it for me, he's done it for you, he's done it for each and every one of us, but it's up to us to accept the invitation without excuse. Excuses are easy to make, and I just pray that each one has accepted that call. So then the question is, will you accept the call? The message is clear. We cannot be neutral about the gospel any more than we can be neutral about oxygen. The whosoever will includes us. We must choose. So we have to make that choice, and it's the most important choice in this life on earth. It determines the few years or decades we have on earth determines. And how we approach that, how we approach God, determines where we will spend eternity. You know, that life on earth, if you had a piece of paper going all the way around this building, and you put a dot on it over here or anywhere, that would represent your life here on earth. The eternity is everything else. So how we spend this and the decisions we make here will determine our eternity. And the next question is, will we go out into the highways and hedges? Will we be the servants that go out and invite those who are poor, who are maimed, who are lame? It's our job as servants of Christ, once we've accepted that call, to go out and do his work. We are his hands and feet here on earth. And oftentimes it's said that, well, you know, now more than ever with the, as we feel that there may be the last days approaching, it's more important now than ever. It's always been important. I mean, somebody has their last day every day. And we need to be diligent in serving God on this earth. And it isn't, and how we do that, you know, I struggle with that myself. How do we do that? How do we witness to others? I think the way we start witnessing to others is how we live our lives, how we act, how we speak. People will see a difference in us, and sometimes there's a door that opens. If somebody should mention something, a door will open where we can share, and we need to be ready to share. And believe me, I'm talking to myself here as much as I am to anybody else. It's so important that we live our lives in such a way that the people in our community will see the way we live and will have questions about it. So it's important that we do what the servant did in the scripture about the Great Supper. Go out and seek those to come in to fill the house, to fill God's house. And we are commanded that. And some of these scriptures are so familiar. Matthew 9:37-38 says, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, excuse me, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" And of course, the Great Commission from Matthew 28:18-20. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.'" And, you know, as we celebrated Pentecost Sunday last week, he is with us always. The Holy Spirit is here. And we have the Spirit of God that we can call on. And just my prayer is that we respond to him and to do our part. Lord, we thank you now for this morning and for the opportunities that you give us, Lord, the opportunities to gather together. And in the last couple months, we've learned, hopefully we've learned not to take that for granted. And gathering to worship is, to me, essential. And I'm just glad we can once again do it without any kind of fear. And Lord, may we, as I said before, may we not take it for granted. And thank you, Lord, for allowing me to participate this morning and to hopefully bring something of substance. And Lord, Lord, I just pray now that as we go throughout our week, that we will carry your words with us and let those words shine through our actions. In your name, amen. And I got one more thing. This is kind of an add-on. It really doesn't have a lot to do with, well, it, all scripture goes together. But Gail and I have been reading through the Bible this year. And yesterday's reading was found in 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And I was reading again this morning when I was waiting here in the back. And I was looking at the prayer of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, and I think it can resonate with us and the situations that we face and the situations going on in the world right now. So it's 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 5, and it's going to be a bit of a reading. I'm going through verse 15. And I'm just going to read it without comment. And hopefully you can follow along. Water. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people, Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives and their children stood before the Lord. And then 14 and 15, it really is a... What the Lord replies through a prophet is really good. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly, and he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word again. Thank you, Lord, for this time again. And just I just pray that you'll be with us throughout the rest of this service and as we go our separate ways. In your name, amen. Now we will, our closing hymn, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, page 555.